Okay, let's shove off into hour two, and we have 2 hours ahead with Erica Kahn, and we're going to do 4 hours of information in the next 2 hours. We're going to try anyhow. There's just a lot happening, and one of her earliest statements had to do with the obvious injuries that the vaxxed were suffering. And she was saying on the program here and to me that these things look like radiation burns, radiation industries, injuries. And I said, they do. They do. And now we have, and we're going to do this in the second hour, an avalanche of data that is highly suggestive that these may in fact be a form of radiation manifestations that we're seeing on at least some of these vaxxed people. It's a very interesting door that we're going to walk through. That's in 1 hour. Erica, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you.
It's honestly, every day there is more. And what we're doing out here and what you're doing so very well is, I guess, what I could call speculative analysis and identification. We're dealing with basically no direct knowledge other than the patents which we've read and we've posted for people. But this is a very difficult kind of science and research. It is speculative. We certainly could be wrong. So could all the media doctors, because they admit readily now they don't know what's going on. All we can do is project and try to distill the facts that we can come up with into a workable hypothesis and go from that. Fair enough?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we are working blind without having the privilege of knowing what exactly is in these vaccines. I mean, we are handicapped in many ways.
But I think what we're doing
just,
is,
you know, working is, backwards in many cases.
Yeah. We're doing the best we can, and I know somewhere there are people in white lab coats or whatever laughing and chuckling. Ha ha, they'll never figure this one out. There are people out there that know what's going on, and I would say that little creep, Fauci, is one of them. Certainly Billy Boy is one of them, and there are many others, scientists and things that we probably will never know their names. Unless there's some kind of an honest intellectual effort to pull these people out, identify them, and put them up on charges. This is an attack on planet Earth and humankind. This is genocide. And what's going on in Australia right now is what we have said many times before. They, it's rather obvious, are pushing Australia to see where the ultimate breaking point of the people is. And they've just now begun vaxxing 24,000 children taken from their homes, just really hideous things that are going on there. And there's a video that will be up in the headlines this evening, and it shows an Australian health official talking about this effort to put all these kids in one location. It's a horror. It's in New South Wales. They've been taken from their parents. They're being forced to take the shots. And as I said earlier, three of them have already hit the floor, at least. Two of them are in comas. And now they've shut off, with the help of the police, all efforts to digitally record in video what's going on in there. This is really incredible. Imagine if the police came to your town and took 24,000 of your children away. Said, don't worry, we'll bring them back. They'll be fine. That's what they're doing down there.
Unbelievable. It's almost unfathomable.
Yes. I'm going to try and do this here. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to try and play this video. It's a very well done video, and it shows what's going on in New South Wales. It shows, well, I've got actually a video of one of the kids on the ground there. It's really awful. There are a number of people involved with this, like thousands, and they're all playing the role that they're given. They're not questioning anything. these little children are just being butchered. That's my word. That's my talk, not speaking for anyone else. Can you imagine, honestly, Erica, the authorities coming to your town or anybody's town and collecting 24,000 children and taking them away from their families to inject them with something?
No. It's as I said, unfathomable. I don't know if how much protest is going on against this, or I mean, I'm assuming it's at gunpoint, so...
It's at whatever point they want to use, yes, and the people in Australia have no means of defending themselves. Here, let me see if I can bring this up. I just want you to hear... Yeah, here it is. Okay. This is from a friend who does not live in Australia, but he is certainly well familiar with Australia. 24,000 children to be injected in a New South Wales, Australia stadium without informed consent. Children cannot consent. Misinformed, propagandized parents are in no position to consent for them. Genocide in Australia. Now here's the video, and this will be up posted in a couple of hours. All right. There's some drumming in the background, but try to listen to the words of the health minister there.
I want to stress that to the mums and dads, your children will be well looked after inside when they arrive.
I want to stress for mums and dads, your children will be well looked after once they're inside.
We actually ushered. We'll have nurses, we'll have some of the youth command, we'll have some of the young police from the...
Nurses, some of the youth command, some of the young police.
Various operations within police there, just to guide them through as to where they go. They'll be looked after every moment inside the stadium, and they'll be well cared for. So mums and dads feel secure.
This is incredible. This is like a Hollywood horror movie. Truly.
It's
ever
hard to know
anything
if,
like this in your life? No.
I can't picture a parent just turning their kid over blindly to the authorities to do with whatever they choose.
Under any circumstance, blind, yes, I concur. Here's a little bit more here.
4,000 students we're aiming to get through next week. The messages will come out this week. And the opportunity is there, but really you've got to take it, grasp it with both hands. I know if you talk to any of our Olympians, I'll tell you, you've just got to grasp opportunity, and this is an opportunity, so don't waste it.
It's an opportunity, so don't waste it. An opportunity for whom? To do what? To those poor children. And the videos that go up, you'll see them. One of them shows a child, I don't know how old, I can't tell, he's partially obscured, 10, 11, on the ground convulsing. We've seen this before. So again, Erica, whatever is in these shots, some people literally can't tolerate it and they break down in seconds and they hit the floor.
It's poison. I mean, it's a lethal injection.
Yeah.
If not now, then down the road.
Correct. They're not only taking the children in Australia to see how the Australians. I mean, I'm amazed that these parents aren't there, surrounding the building, going in to get their children out.
Yeah, that's hard to believe that there isn't more outrage or resistance, unless they're completely brainwashed and they believe that this is what they're saying it is.
I don't know. There are a number of things. I'm going to play a little two-minute clip here. This is an example of some of the propaganda they're using on our children. This is a Disney-quality 2-minute and 14-second cartoon, we'll call it. Now, I want you to listen to the lyrics, okay? This is what they're drumming into the heads of our children. Thank God they're not collecting them and putting them into a sports stadium where they'll be taken perfect care of while they're injected. All right, here you go. This is something that somebody spent a lot of money on.
Where are Mask, wear a mask. Is this really much to ask? Tie some fabric round your face. Oh, it's the simplest of tasks. At the gym, at the store, don't treat it like such a chore. No, these mandates aren't malicious. All your theories are fictitious. Stop the lies, stop the fights. No one's taking away your rights.
So, children are hearing this. And if they hear it often enough, guess what? It starts to settle in. No one's taking all your rights. All this speculation makes me need a flask. And now what's that? I need a drink. That's what he's saying.
The speculation makes me need a flask. Come on and read some data. All you masturbators wear a...
All right, now I got to stop there. Come on and read some data, all you masturbators. Now, this is, again, what they're doing to children. Everything is perverted and perverse. All right? This is the pedophilia in this culture manifesting itself. All you mask debaters, wear a mask.
Wear a mask, wear a mask. It's a mask, it's a mask. Heaven's sakes, it's just a mask. Such a shame that asking folks to follow rules gets you harassed. You can shout, you can glare, but listen, Karen, I don't care.
Did you get that? Listen, Karen, I don't care. So there's that use of the Karen term. You didn't miss a thing in this.
Seeing folks so dramatic over a f***ing piece of fabric or...
Stop being so dramatic over an effing piece of fabric. This is for children.
Feels too hot. Quit your bitching. There's a thought. Suck a cock.
Quit your bitching. There's a thought. I gotta play that.
And don't you give me...
Hold on. This is really repulsive.
Feels too hot. Quit your bitching. There's a thought. Suck a cock. And don't you give me any sass. We've got a lot to do. And it's not just the flu. So wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
That's what they said. Wear a mask, wear a mask. Get your head up out of your ass. This is for children. Isn't this lovely? Wear a mask, wear a mask. Get your head out of your ass. Children. And no, this is not just a flu. That's the other line here. No, it's not just a flu. Don't worry.
Got a lot to do, and it's not just the flu. So wear a mask.
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 Wear a mask. Get your head out of your ass. Try to think of someone other than yourself. It's all we ask. While you sit watching Fox, ignoring science and the docs. Wow, your ignorance is showing as the death toll.
Why your ignorance keeps on showing while the death toll keeps on growing. So there's a fear factor. See, they got it. And this is for all of you around the world. This cartoon could well be in your country with different lyrics, perhaps. Same lyrics, but different language. So pay attention. This is really ugly stuff. Your kids won't tell you they see this in school. You heard it right. Try not to be so grouchy. Have some faith in Fauci. Wear a mask.
Wear a mask. Wash your hands and wear a mask.
Okay. Your turn, Ms. Khan. After you.
I think it's hideous.
Evil, hideous, satanic, Luciferian, perverted, despicable, all of that and more, all of it. And their imagery was in there, too, that I won't even go into. But they're hitting these kids between the eyes, in their subconscious. They're just beating them up.
Yes, especially when you put lyrics to a tune. It has a way of getting into the brain that almost makes it permanent. I mean, it's just... You know, when you put prose to a tune.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
it's getting downloaded in a permanent way.
What's that where a melody gets embedded in your head? There's a term for it, and I can't ever remember it, but I'm sure many of you out there know what it is. You know, you get a melody that keeps, it's on a loop. It keeps going on. That's
right,
what they're trying to do with this.
Programming.
There you go. So.
Well, I think the solution to that is just, you know, get the iPhones away from the kids and the television away from the kids and get them out of those indoctrination camps that they call schools.
Government schools. Government mind control centers. Wow. All right. What do we know that we can tell people from a science perspective that's new since we last talked? And we're going to talk about, we have Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, who's got a 4-minute little statement to make. Then we'll hear from Dr. Cole. So what's new? What's going on here?
It's a continuation of the same. The one thing I do see changing is more doctors seem to be speaking out about this. You know, we've had 8 months of witnessing the effects of these vaccines, and I believe, in my perspective, more are coming forward and speaking out against it to the point where, you know, Fauci's just looking like a buffoon. I mean, not that he didn't before, but to any credentialed scientist, immunologist, virologist, epidemiologist, I mean, he's a laughingstock. And the fact that anybody's still listening to this guy is really mind-blowing.
It is that. Now, Biden, the administration, such as it isn't, has announced now that, let me find the story here, the U.S. government will require nursing homes, senior care, live-in facilities, to force staff members, all of them, to get fully vaxxed or lose all of the federal funding that goes to that particular nursing home facility. That's the club.
Well, yeah, it's all tied into money, isn't it?
Always is.
So
all the money.
There have been situations where staff of these care facilities, medical facilities, have banded together and uniformly said no, and the administration actually caved.
I heard one story today about, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm probably going to get this wrong to a degree, but it was, I believe, a group of these nursing homes, and the managing director of them is in the hospital, critically ill on a vent, whatever he has. They're claiming he has COVID. I judged by what? The PCR test? Whatever. He's in real bad shape, and they put him on a ventilator, and he is fully vaxxed and demanding, of course, that all the employees get vaxxed. So he's...
and there's poetic justice for you.
Making a graceful exit, I guess. Okay. The idea of these senior care centers. Who was the first group that was targeted for vaccinations? Our seniors, right?
Yep.
Along with healthcare, and then they went after the military next. They want to destroy the military. That's obvious. They want to destroy the healthcare system. That's equally as obvious. One-third of the healthcare professionals in this country do not want anything to do with these death shots. So that means there's going to be a hell of a shortage and a hell of a lot of hospitals and extended care facilities and et cetera. And I think this is part of the game. They want the public to be so outraged at virtually every facet of life that they're living, from their alleged government all the way down to the care of their elderly, in these facilities or whatever facility they're in, the legal system, the political system, the monetary system, they want people to hate everything and to have no faith, no hope. They're trying to break the national psyche into pieces. That's how I see it.
Well, they'll create the economic chaos paired with the, you know, physical debilitation of the entire society if they take these shots.
Exactly.
So either the staff walks out now and maybe they get to walk away with their lives, or they take the shot and stick around and die 2 or 3 years from now, if not sooner. Either way, you know, the healthcare system collapses, the military collapses.
No joke. This is the target. Target is the formerly United States of America, now the States of America. Soon not even to be that. All right, we're going to roll through the break on this. This information is very important. Thanks, Todd. Here's the latest from Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. I'm going to go ahead and roll this. Anything else you want to add, Erica?
Well, just these measures that are being put into place with the medical establishment and the military. Any business that's imposing those types of measures on their employees, it's either the staff walks out now if they're given an ultimatum or choice,
mm-hmm.
you know, get
yeah.
the jab or you're fired, or they, as I said, they're sick, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now. Either way, the business loses in the long term if they care about staffing, which seems to be an issue right now in general.
Correct. Well said. We're seeing a lot of well, you're the one monitoring this online. You monitor it all, science, social media. We're seeing more and more cancers, correct? Are cancers beginning to... Okay, so there you go.
Staggering increase in cancers since January of this year, which can be correlated with the rollout of the vaccine. I mean, cancers that normally, you know, should be at, like, background levels or predictable levels are just skyrocketing, in some cases 20 times higher than they should be.
20.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is the beginning of the wave. This is the beginning of the death wave that I think we're seeing. What we are really focused on and trying to come up with something pragmatic that works is how much at risk are the unvaxxed. We know they are at risk. We don't know precisely exactly what they're being given by the vax, but it's something, and it can make them very sick. We know the mRNA single-strand virus can now replicate itself. We know that. It's in the patent. We know the spike protein cannot replicate itself, but it can be replicated. So there you go with that one. All right, let's play Roger Hodgkinson. Very passionately involved with this, and it's always good to hear that kind of a statement.
I'm Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, a freedom-loving pathologist from Canada. I'm a fellow of the American College of Pathologists and the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada. My medical degrees are from Cambridge University in the UK, and I've held a number of significant positions, including being an assistant professor at the University of Alberta, President of the Association of Laboratory Physicians of Alberta, Chairman of the Canadian Examination Board in Pathology, CEO of a large community laboratory, and currently I'm the chairman of an American biotechnology company involved in DNA sequencing. I have a number of important messages for you resulting from this unprecedented horror show, the worst in medical history. I am viscerally outraged at this totally unnecessary, grotesque human tragedy. So my first message is this. Believe nothing you are being told. It's all been a pack of lies from start to finish. Pure propaganda. This is nothing more than a bad seasonal flu with slightly increased risk for older people with comorbidities. My second message is that more than anything, this is a pandemic of fear. Fear that was intentionally driven by two major factors: the notorious PCR test, and the viciously effective silencing of any counter-narrative. The PCR test creates over 95% false positives in perfectly well people and drives the graphs in the morning paper where these false positives are called cases. They are no such thing. You are being lied to. The second driver of fear is the brutal silencing of the truth from the three sources you would normally rely upon to form your own independent judgment: politicians, the media, and physicians. Particularly MDs, who by their cowardly silence have decided to put income ahead of ethics. The ethics we physicians are supposed to hold dear. First, do no harm and informed consent. Fear, in turn, became the excuse for politicians and unelected bureaucrats to enforce the ludicrous, totally arbitrary mandates that have no consensus for effectiveness in the medical literature. None. I'm talking here about masks, social distancing, travel bans, and lockdowns. They couldn't work, haven't worked, and will not work. So my third message is simply this. Read my lips. Nothing works except effective prophylaxis with vitamin D and early treatment with Dr. McCullough's protocol. It's just politics playing medicine, and that's a very dangerous game. They dress themselves in the flag, demanding that only they can protect you from all of life's risks. It can't be done. I can tell you with categorical certainty as a pathologist, death happens. Life is risky. Get used to it, just like you did with the past flu epidemics and every day when you drive your car. Governments must get used to the fact that modern medicine is totally impotent at controlling the spread of respiratory viruses. We must simply accommodate to them in ways we have done most effectively in past flu epidemics, with liberal doses of the cheapest, most effective medicine there is. Common sense. Flip-flop Fauci created COVID-19 when his gain-of-function research escaped from the lab in Wuhan. You shouldn't be forced to put your life and your child's life on the line by getting vaxxed just to solve the problem he created. That is government tyranny and indescribably offensive. So for God's sake, don't let them scare you into getting vaxxed. Tell them to stop the shot. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, well said. Any comment on that? Then we're going to move on to Dr. Cole here, which I think is going to be very interesting as well.
Yeah, I've heard several public speeches by Dr. Hodgkinson. I think he's right on the money. He sums it up very well, consistent with what most credentialed doctors, medical experts are saying.
Well, I don't know about most, but a lot of them. I hope we have the majority. I'm not sure that we do. They're all paying mortgages, and they all have issues that they need to take care of, and they don't want to lose their jobs.
Yep.
Money talks, yeah, and you know what walks. The bottom line here is simple. The question, is my life worth an airline ticket to the Bahamas to visit relatives? Is my life worth going into a supermarket? No. Someone will go in for you. You're not going to starve. What's my life worth? That's what you need to ask yourselves. And I know all of you are. I'm preaching to the choir here. All right, you want to tell us about Dr. Ryan Cole, and then we'll see what we can get going out of that. This is a good one.
Yeah, Dr. Ryan Cole is somewhat new to the scene. I think I first heard his first speech back in, I don't know, it was a few months ago, but he's from Idaho. He's a physician or pathologist, actually, that has some very strong opinions about what's going on and how to handle the coercive measures that are being foisted on so much of the population right now. And, he just recently did a 30-minute interview that's very enlightening and optimistic.
All right, very good. There's a reporter here with Dr. Cole. I'm going to start it just a minute or two in. And she's saying, I don't know, this one expression I never did care for. I'd like to pick your brain. Well, how about asking him a question? I get it. All right. Well, here's Dr. Ryan Cole, the great state of Idaho. Let's see what he has to say.
How, if they are able to require these vaccines from healthcare professionals, how do you think that is going to affect the hospital care or the urgent care or any kind of doctor care that we receive as patients? Do you think that we'll see shortages, or do you think that there's just not that many people who will refuse?
Well, let me start by commenting. We call these vaccines, but in the emergency authorization of these shots, they clearly are using off the term investigational vaccines. And that's an important point to make. And we are asking people, those nurses, those students, those employees to be subjects in an experiment on humanity. This is a large phase 3 trial by getting this shot of something for the which we do not know the long-term effects and side effects down the road. And we usually don't see those for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. In terms of shortages, forcing people to get this, there are people that value their bodily integrity. And as a hardcore scientist, I'm not political. I look at data. And when I look at the data, I'm already seeing the adverse effects from these shots in the laboratory setting. So these individuals who are subjecting themselves to this just to maintain a job, we're seeing it in young people, middle-aged people, old people. A lot of people are simply not going to get this shot. I've heard administrators from these systems say, oh, we'll make you cave. You'll cave. I have plenty of nurses who have shared with me that that's the mantra within administration. We're going to make you cave.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that professional? Huh?
Unreal.
That classic? Yeah. Yeah.
They won't. They will leave. They will stand for principle and their bodily integrity and their long-term health. And they have every right to do that, to not be a subject in human experimentation and coercion. So they're going to see huge staffing shortages, huge. I have a friend in Indiana reached out today and looked at a couple articles from there. There are already shortages in their staffing within their hospital system. They're trying to do the same thing. Another physician group out of Michigan, same thing. They already have shortages. Now they're going to have massive shortages. So this isn't just a mandate on employees of a healthcare system. This is a mandate and an attack on an entire community and an entire community's wellness and access to care. They pride themselves with these institutions to say, oh, we're here for the patient, we're here for the community. This clearly says they're not. It is literally the antithesis of that. They're flipping the script and giving a, you know, mellifluous commentary on how much they're here for us, but they're literally attacking us and our access to care because those nurses don't want their bodies damaged. They don't want their fertility damaged. They don't want their long-term immune health damaged. They don't want to increase their risk for cancers. But I'm seeing the signals in the laboratory already. They don't want to subject themselves to that, and they should not have to be coerced into an experimental shot, as it says in the emergency authorization, investigational vaccine, in order to maintain employment. This is a violation. We made a promise in 1947 after World War II that we never again would experiment on humanity or coerce anybody against their will. And literally, this is what we're seeing. I mean, there were Nazi nurses and doctors hung for doing exactly what we're doing to humanity right now, saying, you will participate in an experiment or else you will lose your job. And we are taking away the freedom and sovereignty of people over their bodies and their minds as well. We're doing this through, we've had three options this year. We've had fear, suffering, and vaccine. Really, the option is hope, early treatment, and immune wellness. And we as a society have been subject to, you know, a worse outcome of this disease because we haven't focused on some of the basic public health messages. Yes, as in some of the talks people have seen me give, we are a vitamin D deficient nation, magnesium and vitamin K2 as well. We're an obese nation. We're a metabolically unwell nation. And those have predisposed us to the poorer outcomes compared to other nations. And now we're trying to force people into a shot, and this is abject silliness. We're trying to force people into a shot for last year's virus. This is Delta. This is not Wuhan strain. This is Delta now. This is the India strain. But what you don't hear is Delta is a less malevolent virus. Yes, it's spreading faster, certainly, but it's less virulent.
Can somebody tell me, Erica, how they know it's spreading, the Delta variant is spreading faster when they don't have a test?
Yeah, I think that's assumptive. I mean, the PCR test is the biggest joke of the day. So I don't know how they're making that distinction because the PCR test doesn't, I mean, it says in the PCR, the insert that comes with the test that it does not distinguish. So what people are becoming sick with could be anything. I mean, I've heard RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. It could be anything.
And anything can stem from the mechanics of the vaccines, and I use the term very advisedly, the vaccines,
Vaccines are immune suppressive.
I believe the vaccines are responsible for most all the illnesses now, because after 8 months, in some cases, 6 months, 3 months, the immune system begins to fail because it is being drowned with spike proteins. When you have a failed immune system, what do you have, Erica? A wide open door for any number of major catastrophic illnesses.
Yeah, you've completely dysregulated the immune response, and it's not in your favor.
So you heard him say cancers. Please watch for that. I know Erica is watching very carefully. There are a lot of reports now of cancers in people who are otherwise healthy. And how do you think, well, let's mention P53. There are mechanisms in this alleged vaccine that are specifically there to cause cancer in people. P53.
Yes. Yeah, the spike protein itself, I believe it's the S2 subunit of the spike protein, has been shown through computer modeling to interact with the P53 gene, which is one of the major genes that control apoptosis in the body, and therefore the control of cancer. So the S2 subunit of the spike protein interacts with that, possibly to your detriment. It's also been shown in computer modeling to interact with the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which those are the so-called breast cancer genes. And then we have the issue of interferon suppression because of the gene transfer technology. You've got to down-regulate the interferon response of your cells to coax it into producing foreign proteins without killing itself. And that requires the suppression of interferon. Now, interferon is a major antiviral component, so that not having sufficient interferon or a well-regulated interferon response is going to set you up for a variety of infections.
Just like HIV.
Yes, and now we're finding out, and Ryan Cole does mention this in this 30-minute talk, that the populations of T cells, which are a component of your cell-mediated immune response, are almost the opposite of what you see in HIV. With HIV, you see a drop in the CD4 helper T cells.
Right.
With these vaccines, we're seeing a drop in the CD8 cells, which is every bit as detrimental, maybe even more so, but the CD8 cells are your natural killer cells. And that's why we're seeing an increase, dramatic increase in cancers and these other viral infections being herpes, shingles, human papillomavirus, and some of these pox viruses.
Okay. HIV, CD4. This seems to be targeting the NK cells, CD8 cells, natural killer cells. This is maybe even worse than losing the CD4 functionality and competency. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just another way of suppressing the immune system or dysregulating it. It won't be normal. And the problem is nobody knows how long this lasts. And this was is it permanent? Does it ever come back? Does it recover? Probably not if they're getting dose number 3 ready for you.
And dose number 1 and number 2 are already changed your body genetically,
yes.
Your cells, trillions of cells in your body to produce the spike protein. Okay?
Yeah, and a paper was just recently published confirming now that this genetic material can be integrated into human DNA, so it may be, in fact, a permanent change.
Wow. That means permanent right to the end of the line, all right? That means
disorder probably forever.
That's right. And as these microclots continue to compound and build one upon the other, and they get bigger and worse, I think you can see where this is going to go. All right, let's go back to Dr. Cole here.
So this virus, if you look at the data out of India, and you don't hear this in the media, sure, it's a big nation, a lot of people, and their raw numbers of infection and hospitalization and death seem high, but statistically, their death rate was 1/7 that of the Western world. That's good news. Viruses acquire benevolent mutations over time. We call it Muller's ratchet. As you look at the inbreeding of something over time, it becomes less strong. This same concept is happening with this virus already. Now, it's interesting to note that in the UK right now, there are about 15,000 documented breakthrough cases a day in the vaccinated by the Delta variant. The Delta variant, these vaccines, based on the statistical modeling one would have to do to get approval for these as an emergency authorization, this shot would not be authorized for Delta statistically right now. When we see this data out of Israel. The other important thing I think that we're leaving out is the fact that natural immunity is already broad across the nation. For every couple of cases that we document in the laboratory, there are multiple people who have had the infection. We are not screening before vaccine. The huge amount of adverse reactions we're seeing are people who are infected with virus and getting a shot while they're infected, and then the antibodies you form are attacking the organs in your body. Also, those who have already mounted an immunity against SARS-CoV-2, if they get a vaccine, they are multiple-fold increased risk of adverse reactions because they've already had COVID, they already have immunity, and it puts their immune system in a hyperimmune response. So we're negating natural immunity. In Israel just last week, a study came out that showed in breakthrough cases from those who had already had SARS-CoV-2 and natural immunity versus those who had had the vaccine, the recurrent infection rate in those that were naturally immune was 0.08% reacquisition of virus. The vaccinated got Delta strain and this virus at a 7 times higher rate than those who are naturally immune, clearly indicating that natural immunity is a stronger immunity than a vaccine immunity from a leaky vaccine. This is not a sterilizing vaccine. It doesn't give you immunity. You can still get COVID. And the other important thing that the CDC admits they're not doing, other nations are, listen to a great lecture out of the UK today, is the vaccinated can still acquire the virus and can still transmit the virus. At least 25% of those vaccinated are still transmitting virus out of the UK data from yesterday.
So the obvious question is, what good is it? It's no good at all. None.
No, this the only thing it seems good for is injuring and killing people.
Absolutely correct. All right. Should I move this forward? We've got about 6-7 minutes yet. Does he get to a different state later on in this? I have not been able to preview this. Or should we stay right where we are?
It's all good, so take your pick.
Okay.
He does all talk about the increase in these other diseases.
Okay, very good. Here we go.
So these are leaky vaccines. We're trying to force people into an experiment with an investigational vaccine for an investigational vaccine against a virus from a year ago for a new strain that is out now. Now, we can't play this.
He is being way too charitable by calling this an investigational vaccine. Come on, Dr. Cole. I'm sorry. This is not an investigational vaccine. This is a killer, and everybody knows it. Everybody who studies the issue carefully.
Which strain next? We can barely get people, quote, vaccinated now. By the end of the year, maybe we're on strain Zeta of the virus. So what do we need to focus on? We need to focus on early treatment of this virus. And it's widely available, and it's cheap, and it's generic, and that's why it's not approved. Because if there were a treatment for this virus, they cannot have authorization for these vaccines, period. It states, I think about page 3 in the emergency authorization, it states clearly, you cannot authorize this investigational vaccine if there's an effective therapy for this virus. Well, many of my colleagues around the country and myself have worked on early therapies for this virus. Dr. Peter McCullough out of Texas, the most published cardiologist in the world, And the most published cardiologist, or the most published physician on COVID, over 50 articles on COVID this past year, and he has focused on early treatment. The death rate in his cohort and those of us that have used the McCullough protocols is 86% lower than the hospitals. 86% lower. And prevention trials with many of these early treatments and prophylactic treatments out of Argentina, Dr. Carvalho's study showed a 100% prevention of acquisition of SARS-CoV-2 on patients.
All right. What's the latest on ivermectin? Erica, what do you know? What can you tell us?
I think hands down, if you can get it, it works both prophylactically, which means it will prevent infection, and also if you think you have it, it will also work to ameliorate the progression of the infection, like a champ.
It's been suppressed. It is not allowed to be talked about in the so-called media in this country. It's just not mentioned.
Yeah, it's absolutely criminal because it's extremely effective. In that published study, Carvalho, I believe it was in Argentina.
Yeah.
They had two groups. They had 800 that took ivermectin once a week, prophylactically. Healthcare workers never got infected. And then they had another group, the placebo group, 400 healthcare workers. And I think it was 57% of them ended up getting infected with so-called COVID.
So-called
that's very compelling
COVID
evidence. And I also am aware of personal stories where this has been truly a lifesaver for some people within days.
The best way to become a COVID statistic would appear to be to follow the AMA and the CDC protocols, just like when they allowed only remdesivir to be used, and we now know that remdesivir was responsible, apparently, for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, maybe more.
Right. Yeah. The latest treatment, of course, it's a pharmaceutical, very expensive pharmaceutical option, is the monoclonal antibodies, which, you know, of course, they're going to make a lot of money on. I don't know how effective they are, but why aren't they using the generic ivermectin?
Right. Why not? Because Pfizer has made nearly $60 billion profit just in this last 8 months. That's one of the reasons. It's all about money. You don't need to give people monoclonal antibodies when you've got ivermectin out there, hydroxychloroquine. Come on. D3, K2, don't forget the K2, zinc, curcumin, NAC, if you can find it and look for it, it's there. These are right there. Quercetin, bromelain, two things. NOW, they sell it. Quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-I-T-I-N. Quercetin, bromelain. These are key ingredients in helping the body fight off viral infestation. And they are very effective in many cases. Okay, we're just about out of time. Let's give Dr. Cole another 30 seconds here.
That were on prophylactic ivermectin. And the ivermectin it's a molecule, so I've been criticized in the media about speaking about this medication. The molecule doesn't read a textbook and say I can only treat parasites. This molecule, and this was a paper in Nature, one of the biggest scientific journals in the world, this molecule has 22 mechanisms of action against SARS-CoV-2, has 7 or 8 antiviral mechanisms, and it has multiple immune modification mechanisms. In Dr. Carvalho's study, 2 months of healthcare workers taking ivermectin once a week, 800 individuals, 0 got COVID. In the placebo control group of 400 people, 57% in the placebo group got COVID. That's how effective ivermectin was at preventing acquisition of SARS-CoV-2 in a hospital setting. You can't claim that for these vaccines. You know, these vaccines, you know, they claim 90-95% efficacy. Really what that is, and I could get into statistics, that's risk reduction, your relative risk. What they didn't do, and the FDA failed in this, and they allowed them not to submit the numbers for the absolute risk reduction, the ARR. So it literally takes 120 people to get two shots to decrease symptoms in one patient. And so of those 120, how many people are going to end up with autoimmune disease 2 to 3 years down the road? How many are going to end up with cancer 2 to 3 years down the road, or 4 or 5 years? We don't know. But here's what I'm seeing in the laboratory already, and this is very, very concerning. When we give these shots, we can look at the types of white blood cells in the body. We can look at your T cells, your B cells, the ratios, and you have a broad array of immune cells that work together to fight off viruses, to keep cancers in check. We're already seeing the signals in the laboratory of decreases of certain critically important T cells that you need, your innate immune system. It's your Marines of your body, the first ones in, fighting off viruses, fighting off cancers. It's why kids have done phenomenally well and survived this virus at 100% rate statistically this year, because they have an innate T cell immune response that has 2 to 3 times the activity of an adult T cell immune response. They have 2 to 3 times the enzymes that throw the little hand grenades in the cells and blow up the infected cells compared to adults. And that's why kids have done so wonderfully against this virus. But what we're seeing in the laboratory after people get these shots, we're seeing a very concerning locked-in low profile of these important killer T cells that you want in your body. It's almost a reverse HIV. In HIV, you lose your helper T cells, your CD4 cells. In this virus post-vaccine, what we're seeing is a drop in your killer T cells, your CD8 cells. And what do CD8 cells do? They keep all other viruses in check. What am I seeing in the laboratory? I'm seeing an uptick of herpes family viruses. I'm seeing herpes. I'm seeing shingles. I'm seeing mono. I'm seeing a huge uptick in human papillomavirus in the cervical biopsies and the cervical pap smears in women. In addition to that, there's a little infectious, you know, bump the kids get called molluscum contagiosum. What do you need to keep that in check? You need CD8 killer T cells.
Okay, we will be posting the Dr. Ryan Cole full half hour later tonight. It'll be in the archive there on the right-hand side. You'll be able to listen to the whole thing. But his points, Erica, as you mentioned, are right on the money. I mean, this is true. I just wish people really wouldn't call these COVID infections, when over 40 countries, the scientists in which cannot isolate this virus. Whatever it is, it's not a classic virus. It's a bioweapon, and it doesn't seem to care who it infects, but it doesn't want to go anywhere near those who are armed against it. That's what I just heard. 800 healthcare workers didn't get it, didn't get anything, whatever it is. We're running out of time. Hold on. When we come back, we're going to dive into this whole thing about radiation-like symptoms. The symptomology of people who are reacting to these vaccines looks like radiation poisoning. How might that tie in with graphene? Graphene oxide with 5G? We're going to talk about that next, so stay with us.